Thank you.
Very nice. Is that from, what's that from? Willy Wonka? Boy, that's an oldie but a goodie, isn't it? Anthony Newley wrote it? With Leslie Bricker's or just by himself?
Both.
Both, wow, okay, we like them. Thank you. Hi again. On Friday night, 2 nights ago, I was up at the Center for Spiritual Living in Ventura, California. They had a presentation, and the guest speakers that night were three clergymen called the Interfaith Amigos, and I went up to see them. I know all three of them from Seattle. They all live in Seattle. One is a dear friend of mine. And one is a rabbi, and one is a UCC minister, and another one is a Sufi imam. And their names are Sheikh Jamal Rahman and Don McKenzie and Rabbi Ted Falcon. And as part of the presentation that they like to give, which is multifaceted, they speak to what the core teachings, from their point of view, are of each of these traditions. Rabbi Ted feels that the core teaching of Judaism, the breakthrough insight, if you will, of the Jewish tradition is one of radical oneness in a mystical way, of moving beyond, and these are the first statements in Western culture, moving beyond the idea of a multiplicity of gods who would be angry and beating each other up to an idea of one energy that is both immanent and transcendent. The same kind of oneness that we talk about in our work. And that would be the breakthrough, the gift of Judaism. And Pastor Don likes to say that, from his point of view, that the core revelation, the core teaching of Christianity, based on the Gospels and the work of Jesus specifically, would be one of unconditional love. That is the takeaway from those scriptures, and that is an ideal that one might try to live one's life according to. And then Brother Jamal feels that, based on the essentials of Islam, which is built on the revelations of Judaism and Christianity, right in the beginning of the Quran, all the great prophets are praised by name, including Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. And yet Islam is another revelation, and he feels that from his point of view and the way he practices life as a spiritual opportunity, that the core teaching of Islam is compassion. That there is a oneness, and the best way to be within that oneness is in a way of forgiveness and unconditional love, and a full realization, the third revelation, of us not abstractly being one, but in particular, to take each moment and each person as an understanding and an opportunity to practice by means of compassion, that oneness. And as I was listening to them speak, and I've heard their presentation many times, always an enrichment because there's always a new takeaway for me. But I was thinking, well, what would I say? What is the core revelation? What's the core teaching of New Thought or Religious Science? And this is not a quiz, but there might be several answers. I don't know. But immediately, my response in my own head, the core teaching is creation. That is the core teaching. That I am primary cause of my own life. And what I decide I am or will be, I can expect that to be. And if I decide to be healed and I have no exit strategies, no excuses, then indeed I should expect to be healed. That I can, as Dr. Holmes says, access this power for good that is the universe itself, that is cosmos, cosmos meaning order, order. That I am a part of that, and I can participate in re-causing things to occur in my life. And that sounds good to me. Because even amongst all those other profound revelations, one still might feel that one could be victimized by life. And indeed, there are accidents that happen. And there are things that do come to us that are not of our doing. But we have, because of this consciousness, because of this amazing and inherent power that is creativity itself, we can respond to all things that happen. Responsible, meaning I am able to respond. And not merely respond, but respond effectively and powerfully. This is good. One of the other things that they shared was they were reflecting on the idea of Sabbath itself. And Friday night would be Shabbat, so you know you greet each other by saying Shabbat Shalom. And Shabbat and Sabbath have much in common per the original Hebrew root. But Sabbath does not only mean to rest. It has a richer connotation than that in the original language. It means to dwell within. And so in the ancient scripture, it is written that God, Adonai, created the world that we know of, and then he rested in the creation itself. Sunday is a particularly rich day to dwell, to rest in the ideas that we hold dear and true and powerful, and the energies that come up because we do make the effort to gather here and to be part of something and to remember, to bring back to our remembrance what we're here for and what our inherent gifts are and how might I use them this week to heal, prosper, and bless. If indeed one of the core offerings of New Thought is this power of creativity, which is going to be different in every single human being, how best can we use that? This is always a question. How do we grow in right use of it and be skillful in its use so we know that we are on track? Well, here's the deal. You got to make some choices in life if you want to have a different experience than the one you're currently having, or if you want to have an enriched experience from the one you are currently having. Decisions must be made. And as we're talking about in our class on Wednesday night, when one makes a decision, one does indeed cut off all other escape routes, that there is no excuse, there's no out. And this is not an outside person holding you responsible for making good on some promise, but deciding in yourself that this is where I'm going. Now, how do you know where you're going? Well, you have to imagine it, don't you? You have to. And we don't get to where we want to go by being in that double negative experience of, well, I know what I don't want. You'll just get what you don't want, but you'll have the same quality of experience somewhere else. But if there's something really different that you'd like to experience, a healing that you really want to have, a new project that you really want to get some energy behind and see fully realized, we have to use this gift of consciousness and we access it, the threshold that we cross into the power that is God, this dynamic that is law and love that will create for us, we have to imagine some scene, a picture of something first. Has to be like that. And you get to make it up. Doesn't have to be anybody else's. In fact, it can't be. That won't get you what you want. But you know, there's a lyric in one of the Christmas songs, Winter Wonderland or something, which I always found rather creepy. But it's later on by the fire and something, something, where we'll conspire to dare to dream the dreams that... What is the lyric? To face unafraid the plans that we made, walking in a winter wonderland. And I think that's such a mature lyric, to face unafraid the plans that we made. You know, when you're young, we have these glamorous and exotic plans, and somehow we put them off and put them off and put them off, and maybe the holiday is the time when you think, am I really going to do this or not? Am I going to face unafraid a plan that I made for my own life? And when, if not now, when? Really? It speaks to something in human nature that we can have a great idea for our life and be too afraid to step into it. I know I've done that many times. Now that I can look back on choices that I've made or choices that I did not make. I did not actualize in this particular way because I was too afraid at that time. Well, why would we be afraid? And here's the deal. Here's what the spiritual practice of all of this is that it is not enough to have an idea or a vision of a future possibility, a future occurrence, a future relationship, a future job, a future art project, a future anything. It is not enough. If you read some of the early New Thought literature, it often says to grab a vision of the future and to see it and keep proclaiming that it is something. That's not enough. That's not even 50%. I think that's probably like 10% of it. The rest of it is I am, I am, I am. Who am I going to be in order for that to be a reality? That's where the so-called magic happens. When I am worthy of that experience, when I have given sufficiently of myself, so that would be an inevitable consequence. Sometimes we create vision boards, which are really, really helpful in deciding, what do I want the future to be like? But, you know, the key ingredient is that I have to be there. I have to be the prime mover in all of this. And when I am, all kinds of astonishing things will happen to make it so. This is what we routinely call having the consciousness of the thing we are seeking. What the heck does it mean to have the consciousness of the thing that we are seeking? It means to show up as someone for whom that would be a normal experience. To be a part of it, even if it is scary, and to act like someone for whom this would be their current reality. This is very simple, and it is takes some of us our whole life to figure this out. I can say that I want to be a really successful businessman. I want to have a business that makes $3 million a year. But what?
Well, I don't want to work that hard. I can barely clock in 40 hours. Work on Saturday? What?
Well, then that ain't going to happen. It's just not. The only way that a vision of the future, a picture of the future, your ideal scene, the only way that that becomes something other than a fantasy is when you place yourself as the prime driver. And to keep asking ourselves, who is it that needs to show up every day? Every minute of the day? No, like 51% of the minutes out of every 100, right? Because we all fall back at some point. That's what recreational time is for. But to show up, it's the person that's driving your life. It's still really impressive for me. Dr. King's example is still really impressive. And the great gift of his life is that we have it on film. It's not a once upon a time thing where we weren't there and we really don't know what went in to making certain changes happen, which were really profound in such a short amount of time. But you know, when you think of Dr. King, whenever he was in public, he had his public face on. I don't ever remember seeing him at some press conference or some rally where he was wearing sweatpants and his comfy shoes. It seems preposterous, doesn't it? But he knew that he was a leader by choice and by chance. He wound up being a leader in his 20s, and he showed up as a peer of the President of the United States. As a peer, not as someone who was begging for something. He was invited to the White House and says to Lyndon Johnson, okay, how do we get this done? Because he had a vision of the future, and he knew that he was the one that was there. So he chooses to show up, looking like it, acting like it, and being it. Being clear, being sure, and knowing who he was in the scenario. The blessing of being alive also is that we know he wasn't an utterly perfect human being, and so what? Was a lot accomplished? Yes. The blessings keep on being given. Right. Do you fall down every once in a while? Yeah, so what? It's okay. But do we give ourselves permission to phone it in too much? Do we give ourselves permission? Do we have an out? One of Dr. King's mentors was a beautiful human being named Reverend Dr. Howard Thurman. And his inspiring poetry is, "Keep fresh before me the moments of my high resolve, so that in good times..." which are dangerous, right? Good times. "So that in good times or in tempests, I may not forget that to which my life is committed. Keep fresh before me the moments of my high resolve." The moments of your high resolve, the moment of your high resolve is a decision that you've made about what it is that's going to happen, what it is that holds the most value for us all, what it is that you seek to accomplish in this lifetime. That is the moment of high resolve. Keep fresh before me so that in good times, even when things are going well over here and things are actually kind of easy and maybe you've got another revenue stream and that's kind of nice, that's the most dangerous time when we would lose a sense of creative tension about that's really where I want to go. I'll take a couple of years off here. Can't take a minute off. Not a minute. The earth doesn't stop spinning, not for a nanosecond. If it did, the game is over. Keep fresh before me the image, the moment of my high resolve, the image of what did I come here to be or do? How did I forget it? I don't know, but I do. Come. Imagination, Albert Einstein said, is more important than knowledge. Imagination is more important than knowledge. Imagination is such an astonishing tool for your unique and specific use. How things happen, to some extent, does remain mysterious. But without the capacity of imagination and throwing yourself, casting yourself as the lead actor in your own motion picture, that is your life, and keeping in constant state of awakeness, awareness, alertness to that which you are devoted is exactly what the creative process is based on and exactly what success is built of. Your life is only going to be what you can imagine it to be. If we want average and boring, that's easy. You get average and boring. If you want something unique to you, whatever it is, unique to you, then it is up to you, and I know that you're more than capable of it. God bless you, friends.